This webcast is made possible in part by support from the listener members of the Classical Network, WWFM and WWFM.org. Thank you for your support. Cadenza, winner of the Deems Taylor Virgil Thompson Award for Broadcasting, is a production of the Classical Network. Funding for this program is made possible by the listener members of the Classical Network. I'm David Ozenberg, your host. May is Maestro Month, devoted to conductors not born in the U.S., but leading major American orchestras. Last week, we chatted with the Frenchman Louis Langres, leading his Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra, and this week, the Finnish maestro Asmo Venska, who has been music director of the Minnesota Orchestra since 2003. Maestro Venska was a Cadenza guest nearly 10 years ago, but since then, he and the musicians of the Minnesota Orchestra went through one of the ugliest and bitterest labor disputes with the administration of that orchestra, leading to a long lockout. My guest stepping down as music director, and upon resolution, he accepted the offer to come back, and all is well, and looking up for this great orchestra with my guest as their steersman. Asmo Venska was a clarinetist at the outset of his career, moving to principal in the Helsinki Philharmonic, then going to the Sibelius Academy, where his heady fellow classmates studying conducting included Esa-Pekka Salonen and Jukka-Pekka Saarista. My guest went on to directorships of the Iceland Symphony Orchestra, the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra, and a long tenure leading the Finnish Lahti Symphony Orchestra, along with building a strong and expanding and award-winning discography and relationship with the Swedish classical label BIS. Cycles of symphonies by Nielsen and Sibelius, numerous recordings of little-known Finnish composers carried over into my guest's Minnesota days, where he has recorded a Beethoven cycle, working his way through Sibelius, and also on now to Mahler. The recent release on BIS of my guest and his Minnesota Orchestra is a two-disc set with music of Sibelius, his choral symphony telling the story of the great Finnish epic hero Kullervo, and a work commissioned by the orchestra as a companion piece to the Sibelius from the young Finnish composer Ali Kurikangas, a work called Migrations, setting four poems of Sheila Packa about the migration, or immigration, if you will, of Finnish people to America and their settling of a region that looked a lot like their homeland, Minnesota. The four poems are interspersed with orchestral interludes, and you're listening to the final movement called Music That We Breathe. The Helsinki University Male Choir, mezzo-soprano Lily Paasikivi, and the Minnesota Orchestra are led by my guest, Maestro Asmo Venska, with whom I spoke with by phone a few weeks back. I'm very happy to be speaking with Maestro Asmo Venska, music director of the Minnesota Orchestra. Long association with the BIS label and the latest release pairs works of Sibelius that you've recorded before with a work that the Minnesota Orchestra has commissioned as a companion piece to Sibelius' Kullervo from Ali Kodikangas. So I get the musical reasons for making the recording, but it would be such a great narrative if this work, which is about people, in this case from Finland, coming to the U.S. to make a new life, would appear now at a time when immigration is such a hot topic. Is there any alignment, or do you want to create such a claim there is, or did this all start sort of before all that heated up?
Well, when this idea came up about the 150th celebration, I thought that only Kodikangas might be a great composer because he has written a lot of music for voices, and I think he has done 8 or 9 operas. And then we knew that we are going to have the Helsinki University Male Choir here, and then the plan was to put it together with the Kullervo Symphony, as you said. So we had a conversations about this topic, and it's exactly as you said. Emigration is not like an old issue. It's happening every day. And since we decided to commission that piece, the world has been more active place for emigration. We know the Libya and Syria war has made a situation where people had to leave their homes and they have to find a new place to start new life. And so it's really actual. And we spoke about that, but we didn't know how strong and how large issue it was going to be when the premiere was done.
Yeah, it's kind of nice when things work out so that, especially a new piece like this, yeah, about a spectacle becomes timely. And you didn't really plan it that way, but it's going to draw a lot more attention, I think, because of that. Yeah.
And my understanding about the art, the meaning of art is that it should be a picture about life today and about ourselves and our neighbors. Art should help us to understand better about how life is and how we are as we are, and so on. So that it's really a perfect issue, and I'm happy to be involved.
The large work on the 2-CD set, the sprawling choral symphony suite, Kullervo, it's such a tragic, depressing story. Do Finns know this story as part of their cultural heritage, or is it taught in school in some way? Or, I mean, is this story passed on now through generations, or...?
Yeah, Kalevala, our national epic, is still at school. The kids, they are reading some stories of it. And I think that the Kullervo story is, if not well known, but at least a lot of people have some idea about that. It's not only a Finnish story. I think that there are similar stories with other countries, other nations. It's such kind of this kind of cultural, historical things. Those stories with some pain.
Right.
We don't maybe, well, we hate and we love those because they are part of the life and history of human beings. And that's maybe one of the reasons why this story was so inspiring Sibelius and why he wrote great music. In some ways, it's like an opera.
Even there are parts of it, I guess, if you come up to a 21st century sensibility, I guess you could read in themes of even like child abuse and things like this into the story, you know?
Absolutely.
So it makes it contemporary in that way. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Speaking of Sibelius, of course, you are so long associated with his music. I'm just curious, now, years on, over a decade now with the Minnesota musicians, have you come in alignment with them in performances of Sibelius so that you guys are in sync, as it were, as to your interpretations, your feeling of how the music should be interpreted and what you're getting out of these Minnesotans who, you know, don't have that heritage?
Yeah, they are playing exactly as I am asking them to, to play, no question about it. And for me, it's one of the best Sibelius orchestras in the whole world. Of course, there are always Finnish orchestras because it's such kind of national duty to do music of Sibelius. But I have to say that the Minnesota Orchestra is playing Sibelius at the very highest level of quality.
When you think back to when you first started conducting in Minnesota, you were bringing out some of the Sibelius scores. How much was verbal of you to them saying, no, no, like this? Or how much did they sort of intuitively start picking up over the years?
Well, I say always them, no, 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 whatever we are playing. It could be Beethoven, it could be Dvořák. That is the job of the conductor.
Yeah.
We need to know how we want this music to be played, and then we need to make the orchestra, the musicians, to play it the way how we feel it. Otherwise, we are not doing a good job. So I think that, please understand me correctly, but it's very much my orchestra right now. And even if I'm not conducting, it's the way how we have worked together. It's coming out with the different conductors too. And I think that this kind of like thinking about the ensemble, thinking about the intonation, rhythmical tightness, it's a great orchestra. I have to say that it's one of the best orchestras I have ever heard in any country.
It's fantastic. It's fantastic what you've done with them. I just meant that, you know, guest conductors will come in and they'll do Beethoven or Brahms with them, but your affinity with Sibelius, you know, you're trying to get a particular sound that they may not work with other conductors. From the new two-disc set on the BIS label with my guest Osmo Venska leading his Minnesota Orchestra, the first disc given over to the Choral Symphony by Jean Sibelius, outlining the life of Finland's great hero Kullervo, here are the final minutes of the fourth movement, Kullervo Goes to War. Just a little bit back in your career, and I've always wondered this, and I've never been able to interview a couple of the other maestros. In the early 80s, was there something in the Finnish water or something? I mean, how did Finland turn out just this not only crop of incredible, great world-class maestros, but composers? I mean, it's always been a creative strain there, which is kind of in proportion to the population. You just got to scratch your head and say, well, it's just the way it is. But in the early 80s, there was something percolating there that was pretty intense. And I'm just curious if you can add any insight into that.
Well, I think it was much earlier than on 80s. Obviously, you are not the first one asking this question.
Yeah.
And my answer, there might be some other answers, but mine is that it goes back to Sibelius, because the population of Finland is still something like 5.2 million. Actually, by the way, exactly the same as Minnesota.
Hey.
but if you have a great composer coming out from that relatively small country, he's like a statue. He's a hero not only for the music lovers, but the whole nation. And I'm thinking about how he was such an important person during the independence process. So that gave him a status. Maybe there is not any other composer in any other country who is respected so well by everybody, the music lovers and other people too. So classical music, because of him, because of Sibelius, has always been like an important part of life in Finland. And because he was internationally well-known composer, then I think that he gave like such kind of role model for Finnish instrumentalist singers, conductors, that I can do it too because he was accepted so well. And then the practical question about that is that often when the orchestras outside of Finland, when they are planning to do any Sibelius symphonies, they would like to invite a Finnish conductor to do like authentic interpretation. Yeah. And if that person did a good job with that program, then there was a re-invitation, and maybe second time it was Dvořák or Beethoven or Brahms. And so Sibelius has been a great door opener.
Yeah.
And that's when you go back to the 1980s, when you are speaking about Esa-Pekka Salon and Jukka-Pekka Saraste, and nowadays Santtu-Matias Rouvali, Susanna Mälkki. Those things are like fruits of this kind of history we have had in past. And if someone is doing well, then there might be five other people who would like to try to do it the same way.
That's interesting. I never thought of Sibelius being the calling card for all of you to, once you, you know, you're doing your schooling in Finland, then to get out globally and be able to conduct, because yeah. what a great lineage, what a great heritage.
Yeah, we are very grateful for Sibelius.
In many ways.
Yeah.
My guest Osmo Venska has recorded much Sibelius over his career, including alternate versions of some of the symphonies and the violin concerto. He is now recording Sibelius with his Minnesota Orchestra. Here are the final moments from the final movement of Sibelius' Symphony No. 3. Thank you. to Minnesota, and I'm just curious now that the boat has been navigated past the rough waters and what you went through with lockout resignation, renegotiation agreement, rehiring. Now, when it's in the rearview mirror and you can zoom up 10,000 feet and look at this, I'm just curious, what should a major symphony orchestra or a major even performing arts entity, what should they have learned from that you hope that they've looked at what happened and said, okay, you know, we got a message here? I mean, do you have that perspective yet on it?
Well, how long do you want me to speak?
Yeah,
about
I know. I only have you for 30 minutes. I know.
It is, there are many things we have learned. And let's say, like, such kind of basic issue is that art is an essential part of human life. And it could really help us to know ourselves, could help us to understand our neighbors and other cultures too. But art is a real thing. It is not any kind of elitist thing. So that's one thing. And then I think that thinking about the lockout here in Minnesota, we are working very different way right now. When they invited me back, I said, I don't want to come back to the old system because we have seen that it doesn't work. And I want to finally start something which I learned in Lahti, Finland during my years, 20 years there with that orchestra. And it is collaboration. It is like we have to do things together. The board has to work together with the musicians. And if the musicians are like an important part of the planning process, then they are much more committed. I think we are the only orchestra, big symphony orchestra in this country, which is trying to do as much collaboration as we are doing right now. So there are many committees where we have management members, board members, the musicians. And I think that the whole idea, very briefly, is that this is a huge art organization. We have almost 100 players, maybe 50, 60 board members. I don't know how many members we have at management right now, but there is a lot of special knowledge, people who know a lot of on their background. And if one group of people is trying to know everything and try to lead it, then it's not going to work. But we have to accept everybody with their own background to come to the same table and to work together, listening to each other and try to do our best with those groups of people. And I think that it's working very well right now here. And there is always a possibility to do things better. But collaborating is better than to fight against each other.
You know, it's a shame, but to have to go through that painful period to where you're going to now where things are working together, collaboration, as you said, that's, I guess that is kind of a silver lining in this from a very, very tough period. I'm curious, you don't have to name names, but were you contacted by other maestros with other orchestras even in the U.S. or even outside just as they were trying to get your take and your sort of perspective on stuff in relation to their own groups? I'm just curious.
Well, I think that after the lockout, there have been many, many, many people who have asked, what happened and what have you learned?
Right.
And how did you come together? And of course, I'm sharing all my experiences about this thing. They have also been, some orchestras and their players met me before the first rehearsal and they are telling how proud they are about this situation that they have seen, that the music director is trying to fight against bad people and trying to save the musicians of the orchestra. Of course, it's very touching for me. I think that the problem or the such kind of risk for all art institutions is that if we believe that we have done really well last 100 years and we don't need to change anything for the next 100 years, the world is changing around us and we have to find a new way to take the challenges what today is giving us to be able to survive tomorrow.
Here are the opening minutes from the first movement of Beethoven's Piano Concerto No. 3 with the young Russian pianist Evgeny Sudbin and the Minnesota Orchestra, led by their music director and my guest today, Osmo Venska. One of the aspects of the Minnesota Orchestra that's really great and really beneficial, I think it is, I'd like you to talk about, is the Minnesota Orchestra then with the Composers Institute, which, of course, you went from one Pulitzer Prize-winning composer in Ira Jane Curtis now to another with Kevin Putz. And this, well, you can talk about how beneficial this has been with the orchestra, and I'm just curious that this works. It seems to work, not being in Minnesota, and I'm wondering why more organizations don't have this kind of alignment or this kind of setup. But just talk about the Composers Institute and Minnesota Orchestra and that kind of symbiosis type of thing.
Well, the program was here before my time, right, not many years before, but it came to the point when people wanted to finish it because they didn't seem, why do we need to do it? And I said, I disagree. I think that it's a great thing, and we have to make it stronger. And so instead of like two reading sessions, I wanted to have a public concert, a little bit, one rehearsal more and a public concert. And then I was asked that, do you really want to see both of the audience members there in a concert? And I said, that, well, I think that there might be a little bit more. And I think that the first time we played the public concert, we had like 600 or 700 people there, and then the second time it was almost 1,000. Mm. And now it's one part of our subscription concert. And the best thing is that not only that we have like 60, 70 or even 80% of our capacity, but we have different people on those concerts than in our, let's say, regular concerts. So that's our way to get new people to be interested about the Minnesota Orchestra. And of course, my opinion is that every orchestra should do the same thing, but that is their decision. I am just speaking about the Minnesota Orchestra. It is important for us, and some reasons. First of all, I thought that it's my job to do those concerts, not a guest conductor or associate conductor or assistant conductor. And I wanted to show that it's important for me, which means that our players are taking those programs very seriously. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I have gotten emails like 3 weeks before the concert that the players are asking, what is your tempo in this part of this new piece, and what is your beat pattern there? And so when they come to the first rehearsal, they are playing extremely well. And that has been like a miracle, because many of those composers, they might have heard their piece played by a school orchestra, university orchestra, or youth orchestra, something like that. Then they come to listen to the Minnesota Orchestra, and they cannot believe their ears, how well people are prepared and how well they are doing their own piece. And that is one of those issues. How could they write better music if they don't hear their music played as it was written?
Well, it's a great program, and there are so many orchestras which I wish would look to see what's happening there, and major orchestras, some of them right here on the East Coast, who, you know, put out their season programs, and not only is there very, very little new or even more modern music, but American composers are really short-shrifted, and I just wish they'd look to see what you're doing up there and take note and make it work for their groups.
I hope it too.
Yeah. From Finnish composer Kalevi Aho's Symphony No. 7, The Insect Symphony, here's the second movement, The Butterflies. My guest Asmo Venska leads his former orchestra, the Finland-based Lahti Symphony Orchestra. Thank you. One thing that has worked for you, I know him well, you know him better than I do, is you've had this long association with the BIS label run by Robert Von Bahr, founded by Robert Von Bahr. And, of course, it was a little bit rocky there at the beginning. You had to get Robert's trust, and you and I both know that that's, you know, once you get it, it's gold, but getting it is can be difficult. But this long association, I mean, now over 80, is it closing 90 recordings? I don't know what you have with him, but just talk about, this is such a gold mine to have these days, no matter what the state of CDs are and all that. I mean, just to have that association is so great. Yeah.
I can tell you that it's always stressful to start with Robert von Bahr, not only for me, but for many others.
Yes.
And I know artists who have given up also. And I'm happy that I am still working. He is a great, great person with lots of very bold ideas about the art. And he has recorded and made well-known composers. Like, he started with Arvo Pärt and, mm-hmm. and Snitke. And I can give you Tauno Martinen.
Aho,
Kalevi Aho, there are a lot of people. He has always thought about the art. And if the company has done any money, money has been number two or three. The art has been the number one always there. And so, yes, one thing, I have never gotten any fees to do any recordings.
Mm-hmm.
I get some royalties, like if they sell anything. But that is part of the philosophy. Classical music is not going to have the time back when the recording labels can pay almost anything about the recordings. But artistic way, if I'm thinking about myself as a conductor, I don't even want to think about my career if this has not been involved. It has meant so much for me, and I'm so happy to think about the Lahti Orchestra, which was exactly the same story. And I think that right now the Minnesota Orchestra is in the same spot. We are playing better because we have excellent producer from BIS. His name is Rob Saff, who has the best ears in the business. And we all respect. If he says something, we know that that's the case. And then there is a reason to make a retake. So we have done the Beethoven symphonies, part of the piano concertos. We have done all the Sibelius symphonies. Now we are in the middle of Mahler's
Mahler's
cycle. And I'm really serious when I say that if you have a good recording company and if you have a good producer, every recording session is like a masterclass for all of us.
Hmm. Last thing, and then we'll wrap. The other piece on this new CD is a piece that's often recorded. Many people know it. It's probably Sibelius' best known work. Here it is done with the choral participation. Can you give us insight? I mean, we have our Americana pieces. I guess the Brits have, you know, God Save the Queen. I've seen them cry when Nimrod Variations is played. What does Finlandia mean to someone from Finland when you hear it played? What are those emotions?
Very deep and very much with tears.
Yeah.
It was written on that time when Finland was part of Russia, as you know. And I just remember one thing about it. It was written first as one short piece of whole night event. There was a celebration to help raise money for newspaper pension fund. And there was one part of that music. And the name of that moment was Finland Awake. And of course, Russians didn't like too much about this idea. And later, Sibelius made some changes for the music. And then it started to be like independent piece of music. And he renamed that on a very smart way. It was Finlandia instead of Finland Awake. But it's the same idea. We want to have our independence. We want to be a free country. We don't want Russians to control us. And I think that it's such kind of symbol still. It's a question about that we didn't bend down when someone was threatening us. We wanted to be free, and we are proud that Finland got its independence and could live as a free country. So,
yeah.
And then you can go to the single individual level. We all have our struggles. And when Finlandia is sounding, we all can live through those things. Yeah, life finally could be great, but sometimes you have to fight a lot to make it better.
Well, keep doing what you're doing up there. We're all great fans, and it's great that you're going to keep going there. I close all my Cadenza interviews by asking two quick questions, and the first is a hypothetical, which says, if you could chat, like we've been chatting, with someone from the past you never had a chance to, could pick their brain. When I ask that question, what's the first name that pops into your head of someone you'd love to chat with?
Sibelius.
It would be Sibelius. Okay. Yeah, I figured, right. But I didn't want to lead. Yeah, of course. You'd have so many questions. I think he'd be tickled, even in his light years when he was secluded. And I think he'd still ask you to come out to the house. I think you'd be one of the cherished ones.
That might be the best time to speak with him, when he couldn't publish anything, but he was writing music every day.
Right, yeah. The final question is a non-musical question, and it's everybody I interview on Cadenza fills their life with music. You're very busy. I was wondering what you do when you have to get away from music, pleasure, relaxation, enjoyment. Now, I knew you used to like to hit the open road. Are you still such a motorcycle head?
I still own the motorcycle. I haven't had time enough to do it. But my wife and I, we would like to make food, and we would like to have friends eat with us. And we love good food, good wine. And the music always is jazz, which we are listening when we are having parties around.
Osmo Venska, it's been great to talk with you. And again, congratulations on what's happening in Minnesota, and keep it going.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Maestro Osmo Venska, music director of the Minnesota Orchestra. You can find out more about him and his orchestra, now happily back on track and playing as well as ever, at minnesotaorchestra.org. Their recordings on the BIS label can be found here, distributed at Naxos. Check out naxos.com. In this May is Maestro Month, next week we'll chat with the music director of the Nashville Symphony Orchestra, the Costa Rican-raised maestro Giancarlo Guerrero. I'll leave you with the final track on the new 2-CD BIS recording of the Minnesota Orchestra, featuring Sibelius's choral symphony Kullervo and the work commissioned by the orchestra from Finnish composer Ali Kortakangas called Migrations, recorded live. Here is one of the many versions of Sibelius's Finlandia, this with male chorus, the Helsinki University Male Choir, the Minnesota Orchestra, all under the direction of my guest today, Osmo Venska. And as always, I'm glad you were in the audience today, and I hope you'll join me here each week for a chat with the great classical musicians of our area and the globe. Remember, you can catch any recent past Cadenza program by going to wwfm.org and clicking on Classical and then Webcasts. I ask you to please support this and the many specialty programs we offer by making your donation today at our website. Thank you, and thanks for listening. I'm David Ozenberg, and this has been the award-winning Cadenza, an exclusive production of the Classical Network and WWFM.org. Thank you.